Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Tracy Kiss.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Tracy.
Oh, hi!
You look like full-on sexy gamers, like, ready to take on the world.
Yeah. This is, like, the new hustle, isn't it, really? Like, doing gaming, getting paid for it. Someone told me the other day that you can... There are guys that will pay to play games with women.
I mean...
So...
Don't they do that naturally? Every boyfriend I've ever had. You got a strong game.
Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, where do I begin? somehow I had children.
Somehow! It's when a man puts a...
Loves a woman.
Actually, that's a lie. That doesn't happen anymore. It's not just penis and vagina for children.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you can be artificially inseminated.
Love in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
Petri dish. All for equality. I had kids. I was a doormat. I was in an abusive relationship.
Oh, fuck.
Here's my tiny violin. Like, what the fuck? And then after my ex fucked off, my life became amazing. And now I have, 4 million followers worldwide. I'm body confident.
Wow.
I speak my mind unapologetically. And I love life. Like, it's insane. I could never go back to being an abused doormat ever again.
That's amazing.
No way.
That's like a success story.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. What is your what do you do on social media? Do you have a specific thing that you cover?
Yeah, well, I'm actually a bodybuilding professional. I got my pro card a few years ago, which I love.
Ooh.
I'm vegan, I'm into fitness, I'm a nutritionist, personal trainer. And I think everybody on social media right now is a health specialist.
Yeah. Either health or sex specialist. My booty is everything.
Yeah, literally.
I've been trying to build my booty during quarantine, actually.
Yeah, what have you been
lots
doing?
Of fun workouts. I don't know. I've just been doing this YouTube video. I just want to end the quarantine with a peachy bum.
Yeah, definitely.
That's quite a nice way to look at it. Your goal is to have that booty.
Yeah.
I do think though, there is this whole thing about booty and then breasts, and I bought both of mine because I was not blessed with either.
Woo!
It was a pancake butt. I had implants a year ago. And literally, the looks you get when you have a really tight peachy ass, 10 times more than having boobs. When they say blondes have more fun and then I switch to redhead, everybody's insane for redhead. And then a redhead with a butt, I'm like, what?
They're trying to bat them down. I want to thank you for being honest about, your bought boobs and butt, because it's really hard to be honest in this time. Everyone wants to be natural, but without actually saying that they've paid for it or they've got it a different way. So thank you for being honest about that.
Oh, yeah, thank you for thanking me. But that was the thing. I had surgery at 18 and it was something that I never thought I'd ever do. I had breasts that didn't develop. properly. So they were very asymmetrical. They were two different sizes. They had like, literally you could fit two fingers in height between them. So like one would be in the bra, one was above the bra. And the nipples were like divorced. They were like east and west.
Yeah. So, which is very like, normal. I think most people are asymmetrical.
It's normal to be that way. Boobs. Yeah. But like try going to school, like wearing a swimsuit for like a swimming lesson where one boob is above your bra.
Yeah.
Like in your top. And you like, it was just so awkward. Like nothing would fit me. And I went to my doctor. I was like, is this ever going to change? He said, pierce your nipple. Like the blood supply can help to stimulate mammary growth and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had my nipple pierced at 15 to try and like stimulate this little tiny little beasting boob that was like just in a world of its own. Didn't help. They put,
that was a doctor. That was a doctor. That said that. Like an actual professional.
It was mad.
I just don't understand the science behind it. Like piercing your nipple of all places. I can understand maybe massaging and getting the blood flow going, but your nipple, so bizarre.
I mean, I tried it. I would have tried anything at that age just because I felt like it was a part of my body that just didn't develop. If you were a guy and you had no knob, you would be like, well, I'm not a guy. Like, that's what makes you feel like your gender is those attributes, you know? So I kind of felt like I had one boob and the other boob was just like a nipple that ran away. And I was like, what can I do? You know?
I mean, silly question, but did the piercing actually work?
No.
Okay. For everyone out here who's like, I'm going to get my nipple pierced right now.
Just fuck all. It looked nice. No, it was pretty. But, but then I tried like a different contraceptive pill because they said that some of them have like a chemical, like a hormone that stimulates breast tissue to grow. And I got to 18, I was like, this isn't happening. I wear a bra, one boob's above it, one boob's below it. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So I had private surgery. I worked three jobs while studying to pay for my surgery in Harley Street.
Oh, wow.
And then I became a glamour model. I was like, boom. So, I didn't ask for it. It just happened.
The boobs made me do it.
It must have given you the confidence to be able to get in front of the camera and get naked and sort of enjoy your body like you never had done before.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought so, but it actually kind of swung things the other way.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, you know, like Ugly Betty, if you've seen the TV series.
Yeah,
I used to love that show.
That was me, like completely clueless. I had like an uno brow or a mono brow. Like, I was like, hello, everyone, like no fashion sense. I was so socially awkward. I then have this boob job. I'm working in business management. Mm-hmm. And then I get spotted by MTV. They're like, oh my God, we want to use you as a model. And I was like, you know, like pushing my glasses up, like, me? You know, me? Never expected it. Yeah. And then they put me on sunbeds. They dyed my hair peroxide blonde. They put shitloads of makeup on me. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, who is that person? It's not me. So yes, I was on like magazines and television, but I didn't recognize myself, so I didn't feel confident as myself. I only felt confident being myself.
Yeah, like being this other person.
Well, I
character.
Wasn't. Yeah. Like putting on a uniform, like putting on a shitload of makeup, changing everything about my appearance, and then people did everything for me. They were like, "Oh, I want to marry you," and I was like, "But that's not me. That's just a load of
that's
fake."
That's so
shit.
Interesting. That's How mad. Did you sort of overcome that feeling as well? Like, did you ever get back into your own body and like feel like yourself again?
Well, it wasn't until I then reached 25, I had my actual breast implants collapsed because they were found to be PIP, which was like mattress stuffing and industrial silicone. It was like this massive scandal. It's affected like 400,000 women worldwide. It's the biggest medical negligence case in the world. So my chest collapsed after when I was pregnant with my second child. So my fiance fucked off and left me whilst I was in hospital having a reconstruction.
Oh my God, what a cunt.
But I mean, he'd abused me for so many years. I had no self-confidence. He told me I was ugly, told me to put on makeup, told me to lose weight after having kids, would literally come up to me and grab my stretch marks and say like how disgusting it was.
Oh my God.
I knew
what
no
an
different.
Asshole.
Yeah. But I live that way because I believed everything he told me. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know? And when he fucked off, I just got laid so much. Everybody was nice to me. And I thought, like, how are they being nice? Like, what's changed about me? But I realized that nothing had changed about me. It was just the people I was surrounded by saw me for who I am rather than treating me like a cunt.
Sexual awakening. Fucking hell.
Oh, big time.
Mad.
Fuck number one. The last fuck.
in my kitchen.
Oh, oh my god, baby. Wait,
really? I love cooking. I don't know if you guys do, but like I have this big thing where I love being harpooned. So like literally
what is that?
Do we... I mean like in the way that I mean it. I don't know if there's like some sexual way to say this, but whilst you're doing something, like I love cooking like lentils because I'm a little weird vegan. So as I'm like cooking my little pots of lentils, my boyfriend to come up to me with a boner and just like stab it in me and then steer me around the kitchen. So like a puppet, like a glove puppet, you know? And then like to kind of lead me to the fridge, and he's just like steering me with his boner as he's having sex with me as I cook, which, you know, I love it.
That's fucking amazing. Harpoons
so are cool.
Like the right term for that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Literally. So was this during isolation?
Oh yeah, this was like yesterday.
Oh, so fresh. Oh my god, I'm so jealous.
And then like you get to like cream pie as you're like serving out your dinner.
Oh my god, so you continued cooking the whole way through fucking?
Oh yeah, he tells me I'm not allowed to stop, like I have to carry on as if he's not actually like harpooning me.
Oh my
but, like,
god,
I'm completely at his mercy. It's really hot.
God.
Is that like what housewives get off on, just been like fucked while you cook?
I mean,
that is such a desperate housewives kind of situation.
It's like that is an absolute fantasy. I mean, my partner Thomas, he gets off when he's fucking me and I'm like, oh, I want to get the toy out, like the wand, and he's like, go on then.
Yeah.
But while he's fucking me, so it's almost like a challenge, like
get to the toy.
Yeah, like,
you're like,
there must be some sort of like control there, like, you know, when you know when you're like in the moment and you can't talk, but they're like, oh, go on, you know, say, tell me, and you're like, you can't bring the words.
Oh my god, you're turning me on.
I know, isn't it? You're like oh, but I need to get and they're just like, what, like
you want more? Oh my god, I love that.
Oh, pussy's quiving around the world. Like, you were in a lucky position being quarantined with someone you can fuck right now, so sorry to everyone who is without partner, including Florence. I feel for you.
I know, no. I have no dick right now. Nothing. But then there are other ways to have fun when you're not with anyone, and that's like FaceTime sex, like virtual sex, phone sex, all of that. There's so much stuff that people can do. It's just, it still is like a little bit frustrating because all you want is really to touch someone. Like,
Well, you just
want what you can't have.
Yeah, exactly. You want what you can't have. Like, at the moment, all I want is like space, and I don't want to be anywhere near my partner. I'm like, get away from me. But it is grass is greener. Like, there are good times and there are bad times. It now is the time to just get into solo pleasure. Like masturbating, feeling yourself. That's if you don't have, you know, a partner at hand. But
think of how like good it'd be.
Yeah, but like when you then have sex with a human, I'm like, obviously, you'll be like, whoa.
It's going to be incredible.
That though, it's
or
it's
too
going to. Yeah, either going to be
too
like
high
amazing,
expectations.
Or yeah, you'll build it up so much, and when it comes to it, you'll be like,
Was that
or you'll last a minute.
Be like, yeah, it was all right. Like, let's just get the toys out now.
Fuck two. The first fuck.
That was so embarrassing. Like, I think when it's your first time, you don't even associate sex with pleasure. Like,
yeah,
for me,
definitely not.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, you've got your dick in my groin, like that's my leg hold, like, and then I remember him like trying to push it in, and I had long labia that I had removed a few years ago as a female circumcision, and I turned into a necklace. I thought, you know, I'm gonna keep my flaps, make it as a talking point. And then Vogue wrote about it. I've got my flaps in my cupboard.
I want to see
it with my jewelry. That's what came
off. God,
I painted them. I painted them, put glitter on them, like they protrude as well. They're like,
so they're like, it's basically like in clear plastic, set in clear plastic with glitter. It's amazing. Yeah.
I made a YouTube video and it went viral.
Oh my god,
I bet it did. No, I've never heard of that at all.
That's what came off, and I've got like the same left. So I like halved my flaps length.
Wow.
So but imagine like the first time you have sex with long flaps. It's like trying to get into a pyramid when you're Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
He was like smacking away at it, and they were like all twisted up, and they were like, "You're not coming in." He
didn't. Because you're like dry, not
no lube.
There's no lube.
He didn't even know to spit into his hand or anything. So it was like this kind. kind of like Chinese burn in slow motion. And then he ended up just like knobbing my leg and jizzing on me. And I was like, is that sex? And
it that's not sex.
I was so confused. But I was like, oh, thanks.
I'm a woman now, clearly.
Yeah.
That's mad. Oh, the flaps are so annoying. Because I even now, when I know what I'm doing and I know to spit in my hand and I know to use lube, like sometimes even you can be wet, pull out, have a moment, and it all dries
out. And it dries
up,
out
and then,
again.
And then you put it back in again. And it does, it's like that uncomfortable, like your flaps are trying to go back inside yourself and it just ends up like... And vaginas are complicated. Actually,
it's really annoying because you're like, I swear I was really wet a second ago. Like, what happened? It's
but you can hear it.
Yeah. It's so annoying. This is why lube exists and we should always use it.
Well, I've been struggling with lube recently. I don't know if it happens with you guys, but I love lube. Like, everything about it is like my fave. But then when my boyfriend has any lube on his bits, it makes his cock like waterproof completely. Imagine like a duck floating on a pond, like the water just rolls off.
Yeah. So
then we call it like lube dick, where it just like goes all gammy and like sticky for days on end. Imagine like having a smeg infestation. I can't believe I'm saying this in a podcast. It like waterproofs his cock to the point that then he can't shed smeg. So for like days on end, he's literally like, what the fuck do I do? Because he can't get it off.
It's, you know what? He must actually have an intolerance to lubricant. Maybe it's just like we have an intolerance. Like sometimes when I'm using lubes, I get thrush or BV. He must have the exact same, but with his cock, it's not unheard of. I mean, cocks are more resilient than vaginas, but maybe you got to try a new lube. See if that makes a difference.
Have you, has he tried different lubes?
All the other ones, like we have the same problem with it. He loves using lube and I love Tingle Lube. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it means he's going to have like duck dick for a few days.
That's really annoying. That kind of makes it not worth it.
Yeah.
Lubes are different to different people because everyone's pH balances are different and it really depends on what works for you. It is really a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, there's a different lube for everyone out there.
Yeah, definitely. Natural.
Has anyone ever requested like used lube from you? Like people ask for my urine, for my saliva. Oh. I'm like, are you making voodoo dolls?
For a while I was selling my used sanitary products. So like tampons and sanitary towels and like wet knickers, but no, never use lube.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's crazy. I'm like, fuck it. If you want to give me £100 for a week worth of used sanitary products, like here you go.
Have it.
Yeah, why not?
Every little helps, doesn't it? Especially during this time.
Yeah, no kink shaming.
I don't find the smell of periods offensive. Like, I actually quite like blood. And I think like a lot of people, like guys in particular, will be like, oh, I'm not going to sleep with a girl if she's on her period. I love nothing more than like having period sex and then going in to tidy up afterwards. Like,
yeah,
it's so nice.
Oh, really?
It's like being a vampire. Yeah. I mean, enjoy it.
I'm sure there's a fetish for it somewhere.
There is. I've definitely. I mean, I've had in my experience, I've had a guy who like loved, like really wanted to eat me out when I was on my period. He was like, it's fine as long as it's like fresh blood. So he was like, have a shower first. And then like the bed was like a massacre afterwards. So much blood. Yeah. He was just lapping it all up. So like, some people just like don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, maybe he has not an iron deficiency.
Iron deficiency, like please.
He's craving you.
I need my vitamins, please. Let me treat you.
Fuck 3. The best fuck.
I mean, it's going to be when you're younger, I think. Only because even though I was like inexperienced, everything was perfect down there. Like, I didn't fuck it up with kids. So I could orgasm so easily. Like, I remember I just loved being on top with my ex, and he would be underneath, like, just going crazy. And he would
tell me, I love that. That's the only way I like being on top.
Yeah.
When you're kind of like hovering in the air and they're just pounding.
Your legs are just pounding. You're like, ah.
So good.
Yeah, and I just remember like literally throwing my head back and screaming and just being on another planet. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, saying to him, like, what the fuck did you just do? Like, do it again now.
The addiction. So,
What's changed though, like since having kids, what actually does change down there? Because I don't think people really talk about this.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. One thing that I really noticed is the difference. So like when you're not turned on, you're just kind of like at rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The difference is like when like the penetration begins, I would always have felt like a pop that was like a, oh, it's in, like it's a kind of bursting into you feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas I don't get that unless I'm turned on, that it's like gripping it to then be like pop. So if you were to just like walk up to someone and have sex with them, unless you're like horny, you don't get that kind of resistance pop.
Yes. But then
if you're like really turned on and you're like, raw, like it's the difference between like, I don't know if you do that like when you masturbate, but I've like just experimented with everything. When you can like put a finger in and like grip a finger because you can feel like that you're about to
come. Yeah, your vagina muscles are like squeezing. Yeah.
It's like you've got to build it up almost rather than it just automatically instantly being there.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like the entry game changes. Unless you're turned on, you don't get that kind of like you have to force against it kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. That must be stuff to do with the Kegel muscles, right?
Yeah. I have like those little weights that you can like put in and then you walk around and like you try and jump with them in and then you can put like a heavier one in and stuff. And I really enjoyed that. Like,
it was vagina weight training.
Yeah, it's like bodybuilding but internal, right?
Yeah, yes. Internal. Yeah. I mean, it must play havoc on your muscles on the inside because it does do crazy stuff to you. You know, you go through such a huge transition in like nine months and then afterwards.
Yeah.
How long, if you don't mind me asking, like how long after having kids like was sort of everything okay down there? Like how long do you have to wait until you can have sex after having kids?
Yeah.
Well, I have quite a high pain tolerance and I kind of enjoy pain. Well, most people would be like, oh, it really hurts and I'm so sore. I was like, smash it up. I waited like a week.
What? Your mum?
Whoa. I think that will shock so many people.
Yeah. Like when you're feeling your worst, you know, it's the last thing on your mind. I was just like, I'm so fucking horny. Just sort me out. So.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have like any damage. Like I was told that I grazed, but I didn't like split or tear or need stitches or anything like that. So if you were maybe injured, then you would need like longer recovery. But
definitely, like one of my best friends who's had a kid, she was like terrified to look down there. I think it took her months to even look down there because I think she was just so worried about what it looked like.
Does it look different afterwards?
Well, I never really looked at my vagina. Like I literally found out what my vagina looked like when I was 30 when I had my labia removed. Yeah, because I'd actually done like a bike ride for charity. It was like a 60k cycle and I hadn't ridden a bike since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I totally didn't know why I hadn't been on a bike in years. And then I realized when I did that sitting on the saddle chafed the hell out of me. Because like my lips were rubbing so badly. And then afterwards I couldn't sit down for like a week. I went to my doctor and he said, oh, you have a cyst in your labia. Like, you've got a cyst from friction and irritation. Uh-huh. It felt like someone set fire to my bits. Like, it was agony. God. I couldn't even wear underwear. I was, like, literally commando in skirts for, like, a Victorian for, like, 3 weeks. He just said, like, you've literally got excess labia tissue. You're always going to have this problem. And then I said, well, yeah, it hurts to have sex. It hurts to ride a bike. It hurts to wear jeans, wear tight underwear. If I'm in lycra at the gym, like leggings, rubbing. I was like, but, you know, your clit hurts, your bits hurt. And he was like, no, they don't.
They're not
like,
supposed
Yeah, you can chop that off. Like guys having circumcision, if they have like a tight foreskin, immediately the doctor like just trims it off when they're kids. Like it's no big deal.
But, or even when they're adults. I know several adults or even like, adults that have had that done recently because it becomes more of a problem.
Yeah. I just didn't know. And then I was like, what the fuck? And he literally said, can I use your phone to take a picture of your vagina? And then I was like, okay. He's like, I need to show you this. And then one lip was like way longer than the other. One was all twisted up, looked like a bit of lasagna that had been burnt in a dish. And I was like, what the fuck? I was thinking, how's anyone dated me knowing that's what it looks like? Because I was horrified. And then, so I saw my vagina for the first time at like 29 and a half years old.
fuck.
Is that when you had the problem with the cyst and the friction and the pain? Is that why you got it, those bits removed?
Yeah, so then I had a private surgery. I don't know if the NHS covers that, but my doctor advised that it's so unlikely. Like, I've never had NHS surgery. I've always gone private.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just said, like, you know, cut it off, else you're going to have to drain it with a needle. And I was like, I'm not having a needle in my labia because this is agony.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, put it on a necklace and have it in glass.
Beautiful.
That's the end of it.
Since
having the surgery, have you noticed a difference? Has it been beneficial?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt now. Like, to sit down, I would always have to sit, like, side saddle. You know when you see, like, a lady on the television riding a horse side saddle?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
And how long was that going on for?
My whole life. But I didn't realise that women don't live in pain. I thought, like, your eyeballs are delicate. So if you put your finger in your eye, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I thought, your genitals are delicate. If you wear underwear, if you have sex, if you sit down, of course it's going to hurt. No, wake up call, because it's taboo. Nobody talks about it. And if I'd have known years ago, I would have got rid of it years ago.
Oh, that's so sad, actually. The fact that no one talks about these things is literally why you went through your life in pain.
In pain, because that's, I could have done something about it, but nobody says anything. So
I hate that doctors, like it's just like not a norm, like when we're a kid, to look at a labia, because we see that diagram and we're like, okay, yeah, that doesn't really look like me, but, like, whatever, I guess that's what, you know, that's what they're showing me. You don't really even think that things can look different or feel different, because no one explains the pain to you. And it's exactly the same with, like, men and their foreskins. I think a lot of people don't get told that you're supposed to be able to pull your foreskin back, and it's not supposed to hurt. And if it does hurt, then you do need to speak to a professional.
I think just, like, it's seen as shameful to talk about genitals, but it's something that we all have. Like, it can change your life to have healthy genitals.
Yeah.
So many women don't attend smear tests and they will die of cancer rather than go and show their genitals to somebody that deals with it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Literally doesn't bat an eyelid. And you think, like,
they're trained in this. They know bodies. Yeah. Like, they've seen so many that they don't care what they look like. They're not judging you. They're to do a routine medical examination, and it's so important to get it done. When I had my first smear test, I had, like, abnormal cells back. And it's just like, if I had left those for maybe, like, a few years without getting tested, it could have turned into cancer.
Yeah, definitely. It is important. Like, you've got to get your smear test done. You've got to go get yourself checked out if you are worried about something down there, because like, not even just physically, but for peace of mind and worrying about it, and just to have a medical professional go, hey, actually, like, you are okay, this is just in your mind, at least that settles it, unless there is a problem and you can get that sorted out. There are solutions. Medicine's changing constantly, and there are whole, like, you know, there's new things coming up and easier ways to deal with stuff. It's just, it is important to see your doctor, no matter how embarrassed you feel.
Yeah.
You think how often we have to, like, service our car, tax our car, MOT the car. We do that every year, multiple bloody times. But then our bodies, we can go 10 years without ever going to a doctor and saying, hey, is this supposed to happen? You know, like, why put yourself at risk? Like, it's life-changing.
Most things are so easily solved as well.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
Well, okay, so this is, it's kind of worst, but also epic as fuck. I was seeing this guy and he had like the biggest dick I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was insane. And I loved it because I just love being hurt by dick. And we went to a party that was quite far away. So I said, hey, I'll book the room. And I'm so shit at booking rooms. Like, I found a thing online. I was like, oh, that's a really reasonable price. I'll book that. Turned into like actually being a whole apartment.
What?
Like a kitchen in the fucking thing, a table, a bed. Everything was like pristine white. And I was like, this is so random. I booked like an apartment instead of a room.
Yeah.
But it shared a bathroom. So it had like obviously like self-contained apartments with a communal bathroom. And I would never book a communal bathroom.
That's so bizarre. Yeah.
And then we were absolutely shit-faced. We got back at like 6 a.m. to this room. I didn't take my makeup off. We got into bed. We had like crazy sex for hours on end. And then I walked out to the bathroom and like, it must have been like 8:30 in the morning, daylight, and my eyes are like blinded. I'm like, oh, I'm so hungover and fucked.
Yeah.
And I think I could have even been naked at the time. I can't remember, but just crawled out of bed, hungover still. And I saw a woman in the hallway and I was like, oh, sorry. And then she looked at me like, what the fuck? And I felt like, all right, don't judge. I've got last night's makeup on. It's not a one-night stand. We're in a relationship. It's absolutely fine. I get into the bathroom. My face is fucking covered in blood. Like, I'm just as if somebody's just slaughtered me. My whole neck, my hands, my throat, my face. My God. Like, I was like, what the fuck is this? So then I realised I got my period in the middle of the night as we're like having crazy drunk sex. Running back to the room. He's laying in bed. There's like red handprints all up the wall on this big red, like everywhere, all over the white bedding. And I was like, Jesus. So we literally like killed ourselves laughing. Then as it's like an apartment thing, we just got all the knives out of the kitchen, laid them on the bed. And left.
So you know,
the cleaner's got to come in and deal with that. There was like jizz and blood everywhere.
And he left knives on the bed to make it look like a crime scene.
Yeah, just because.
I wonder if they must have called the police. You can't like see that and not call
They didn't
the police.
Even email us back.
What?
I would imagine if you owned a room that you like Airbnb'd and then you saw that, you would at least.
I can't believe they didn't message you back. You didn't have the police knocking on your door or something. That's nothing. Fucked up there.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre. Imagine that woman. She would just be like, oh my God, like what has this woman just done?
Yeah.
But I didn't know I was covered in blood. It wasn't until I got to the bathroom that I was like, thinking she's so judgmental. How could she look at me like that?
Like all over your hands. Did you not look at your hands?
No. There was like no windows in the room. So we were like in this little cocoon. I didn't even know what time it was. I just walked down the hallway and then I'm like, all right, calm down. We've all been there, you know. Got nice makeup. Might have had sex a bit too loud, but don't judge.
I'm surprised she didn't sort of just like, are you okay, hon? Like, you want to sit down? Like, she was just like, fuck. Like, Jesus Christ.
Fuck number 5.
The fuck that made me.
Well, this is going to sound really weird, but on my 30th birthday, I went to Disneyland.
Hey, that is not weird at all. I went to Disneyland last year. It was amazing.
Did you cry at the lights? Like the illumination?
Okay, I didn't cry, but...
It was. Do you know what it was? It was like the Lion King. They had these little lion cubs like dancing in the leaves. And the fucking fire goes up and I was like, oh, I just cried. I was like, that's so... I want to love like a lion cub, you know, like that kind of... feeling like I'd been such a heartless bitch for so long. I just kind of treated men as meat and not let them have my heart after my ex completely fucked me over. I was like,
that's understandable though. Yeah, like PTSD. But...
yeah, literally. And I'd been in like relationships since then. I just could not say I love somebody. I could not trust anybody. I could not see a future. Mm-hmm. And it was this whole kind of, I got to Disneyland, saw these little lion cubs, cried like a bitch, and then I was like, I need to switch my heart back on. I need to let somebody in. Aww. So, yeah. And then I met my boyfriend on Tinder, fucked his brains out. And that was life-changing. It was just literally
your within... the first fuck with him.
Yeah, literally the first one. I just dominated the shit out of him, which I really needed to do to somebody.
Yeah.
And he took it until he couldn't walk. And then I was like, this is the man for me.
I'm in love.
Yeah.
Well, that is so lovely. You never hear like a magic story from Tinder of all places as well. I'm impressed.
It was Disney I have to thank for my...
Thank you, Disney, for all the sex.
Oh.
And then he said afterwards he had to eat 6 burgers from McDonald's on the way home because he was shaking so much.
6?
I was like, 6 fucking burgers?
Oh, my God.
Machine.
I don't know if it included the bun. Maybe it was just me. Yeah, he was like literally trembling. He hadn't eaten all day because I just fucked him all day.
Is this the guy you're with now? He's the one that you're in quarantine with?
Yeah, we're quarantined. It's been 2.5 years.
Oh, nice. That's so lovely. Yeah. So Tinder can have happy stories. This is nice to hear.
Yeah. If you go to Disney before you join Tinder.
Yeah, go to Disney World, fall in love, and then go to Tinder.
You could dominate the fuck out of someone.
Yeah. that's really beautiful, though, because like coming from such a... like a traumatic background and dealing with some like really horrific abuse, like psychologically and potentially physically as well.
I didn't even know that I was being abused. I didn't know. Well, I knew I'd been raped, but I didn't know, you know, to the extent. I just thought, oh, that's what all partners do to their girlfriends when they control them and don't let them move on with their lives, you know.
Thank you for being so honest about that, babe, because it's really hard to talk about and say, but it just shows like how much of a new person you are, and that you are able to talk about it.
I mean, it's actually good for people to hear, because if they've been in the same situation, they can see like how far you have come after that, and the fact that you really have, like, you've become so much more confident, you found love, you're having amazing sex. It's all positive now.
Yeah, and I think you have to go through like bad times to appreciate what you do deserve. Mm-hmm. And you can't get that just from being with someone from the age of like 19, being with someone that treats you like shit, that you think the world is like that. You need to actually have like multiple relationships, I think, to like have something to compare it to, to be able to say, okay, hold on, nobody else has treated me this way. Why do you think that's normal?
And you wouldn't know anything else, would you? If you're if that was your first relationship, you just wouldn't know anything else. And that's why I guess a lot of people stay in those relationships.
It's like restoring your faith in humanity and men and love and believing that there is better out there, because you get all like, you get tunnel vision, and it is true. You don't think that there's anyone else out there, or that even you deserve any better.
Yeah, like now, like I've got to the point that I'm just so independent, so self-confident. Like, I don't think I'm like great looking. I don't think I'm amazing as a person. I'm just me. And it's like kind of, but like wholeheartedly yourself, where nothing anyone does to you will change you, because you know who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like if my boyfriend does anything wrong to me, I'm like, you know where the fucking door is then?
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I literally can just cut your value too easily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he respects me for it. Whereas other guys would be like, chatting to other girls or secretly doing things behind your back or putting you down, making you feel like you're small or you're ugly, or you know, you need makeup to be attractive.
I think quite a lot of men do it as well without even realizing that they're doing it as well. Like, it even happened in my last relationship where he just like put me down, small things, and kind of like a little bit like gaslighting, making me feel like I was crazy for thinking something.
Yeah,
and we also forget that this can happen the other way around. Like, it's rarer, but women can do this to men, and it's even harder for men to talk about it and to come out of it. I think we only recently had the first case of abuse where it was a woman abusing her boyfriend, and it was the first prosecution we had, and I think that was only 6 years ago. In the entire of the UK, like, it blows my mind, because it is harder for men to talk about, because they're supposed to be able to, like, they're not as vulnerable as us. And abuse in all levels is really fucked up, and it's just trying to recognize that you're in a bad situation that you need to get the fuck out of, no matter how hard it is and how long it takes.
And nobody deserves to be treated that way. I think like you get used to it, it becomes normal, but it should not be. And the more you talk about it, and the more you say, you know, this is what you should and shouldn't do, then people are going to see the warning signs. But if you just sweep it under the carpet, pretend it doesn't happen, will never move forwards. Like, yeah, you think of all the people that are going to be lost to this.
Do you have any tips for people that are in the situation and like how to get out of those relationships?
I mean, if my ex had not run off when I was in hospital with a breast reconstruction, I still would have been with him to this day. I would never have cheated on him. I would have always been there. I would have been grateful for the small morsels of attention that he gave me versus the barrage of abuse, because, you know, I believed, as your grandparents do, kind of when you're with someone, it's for life. But we don't have to be with the wrong person. So, I mean, I don't honestly, hand on heart, think I would have escaped that relationship if he hadn't ran away and left me with children. But now I will not even take an inch of that. Like, literally, the first sign of disrespect, and I am there like the exorcist, my head rotates, and I'm like, literally, like, I can't even take a second of it. And I think, you know, like, until you get to like your worst point, you can't get your biggest strength. So, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I would just say, if you can recognize your worth, if you just say, like, I deserve more than this. And don't settle for cunts.
And sometimes that takes help from an outside point of view as well. Like, there are so many amazing charities that you can talk to, or even just speaking to a therapist can give you that enlightenment to be like, okay, I don't need to put up with this, or even just help you realize that you are in a bad situation. Sometimes you do need a helping hand, because you're right, if maybe he hadn't have left, you might still be with him until maybe someone comes along and actually says, like, look, like, I'm gonna show you your worth. And that thing is, it's like, you never know whether that's gonna happen or whether or not you need to make it happen.
It's kind of, you need something to change, and whether that's everybody around you, like, all my friends and family were like, this guy is not right for you, you're not happy. And I was like, we have kids, we get married, like, we've been together our whole lives, so what are you on about? And I could not see it. Like, somebody could have held a gun to my head and say, would you die for him? And I'd say yes. Like, he was my entire life. And it's how it works, you know, when there's abuse, they cut you off from everything and anything that you cannot survive without them. And it's not until they bugger off and have another family elsewhere that you realize, what the fuck?
It's like a cult, isn't it? It's like, that's what cults do. They like, they make you feel amazing, and then they take it all away, and they make you, that you basically just don't have any other support network. So if you leave them, then you leave everything.
And I think, like, he literally just captured me as a Page 3 model. Put me in a cage and kept me as his prize, tore me to pieces, and then when he left, the whole world picked me up again, and I'm so fucking thankful for it, because you know, without that, if I hadn't have had social media and people actually saying, like, what are you upset about, like, you're a nice person, you know just giving me compliments, even, I didn't know how to take a compliment. And at the age of 25, like, if you cannot have anyone say to you, you're a pretty girl or you're beautiful, and you then feel shocked and embarrassed and you can't make eye contact, like, what the fuck is the world coming to? I've made up for it ever since.
For fuck's sake.
So we have a sex question from our curious fuckers. And by the way, if you have a sex question yourself, please write them into our email, which is fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. So this week's question is, when having sex, in brackets, especially in positions like doggy, I get air in my vagina and queef. It can just ruin the mood for me, and it's a little embarrassing. What ways can I prevent this?
Oh, I literally queefed the other day. Wait, what day is it today? I queefed on Tuesday when I was webcamming.
Did you?
And on my own as well. Normally it's like dick happens, but it was because I was in, like, you know, like, face down, ass up position, and I was like fingering myself on camera, and then like, it's almost like you just your body just like sucks it in, and I felt it suck in. I was like, okay, how am I gonna play this? Like, okay, like, I know it's in there, I can't push it out in this position. And it was one of those where when I went back down to normal position, it kind of just went like all like flopped out. I mean, luckily, I just you just can't
style
really
it out
when you do stuff like that.
Yeah,
you have to style it out.
Queefing is really, really normal, and especially in positions like doggy. Like, I think that's the, that's the position for me that it almost always happens in. And it's just basically the dick pumps air into you. If there's like a little, if there's a little like area where the air can sort of go in as well, it just will suck in and it will have to come out.
Well, your vagina is naturally a vacuum because like, it, you know, it's like sucking, the idea is that it's sucking the sperm in and you put, so when you are in a weird position where like maybe your, I don't want to say organs, that sounds really graphic, but like where your insides are pulled in a different direction and it automatically just sucks. And it's the same with like, it will suck a penis or it will suck some air in. But like queefing doesn't have to ruin the moment, and it is something that you can just have a fucking good chuckle about because it will happen. Yeah. And it's fucking funny.
That's like the complete opposite of everything I've ever lived by, because my boyfriend loves queefing.
He deliberately
forces me to queef. Like he is like, loves it. He will like try and get and hold me and then like just pump it.
Wow.
He calls me Queen LaQueefa. Like, that sounds awful, but I always thought it was something really embarrassing that I'd be like, I would feel like if I'm having sex and I heard a noise that wasn't my butthole, like I wouldn't want to fart during sex, I would say, I'm so sorry, I promise I didn't fart, that was my vagina, but it's also very embarrassing. I'd feel so apologetic and ashamed, whereas my boyfriend's like, oh my god, like I love this. He will like deliberately try and get me as wet as possible to pull out, take a run up, and then like punch it back in again.
My god, that's amazing.
And the more noise it makes, the more crazier he goes. Like he is obsessed with it.
Wow.
And I didn't think men like
it's like a fetish. Is it a kink? Like, do he gets off on it, or is it just like a fascination?
He gets massively off on it, and then it makes him go faster and harder. And he literally pulls all the way out. And then, like, runs up and is like, bang, bang, like, to deliberately try and, like, get as much in there as possible.
Oh, my God. I am. My eyes are open. This is amazing.
Yeah, I've never heard of queef, and I love that. I think people do need to embrace the queef. Like, it's just, it just symbolizes having good sex, really, doesn't it? It's just, like, all those noises that your body makes is just good sex noises.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's so amazing. Like, fucking bravo.
I see how, like, for some people, though, it can ruin the mood because people are just embarrassed of these sounds because it sounds like a fart. So you're just like, oh, God, I don't want to fart in front of this person. So I don't know. It's hard. And if you really do want to avoid it, it'd just be avoiding those positions that do it, because there's not really much you can do, because it's all depending on like dick size and like partner as well. So it can change. Yeah. It might be, you might not queef in doggy with another partner with a different dick size, but it might be with your partner that you are with now.
Mm. I mean, the only issue with queefing is that even though you can be comfortable and laugh about it, it can stop your brain from like being in sexy mode, and it can take your mind out of it. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, like I'm laughing, or like, oh, I queefed, and that can ruin it. But I think if you're comfortable enough to laugh about a queef, then you're comfortable enough to get back into the swing of things. A queef shouldn't ruin good sex.
No, I think you know when like girls squirt, like guys see it as this massive trophy that like, yes, I made a squirt.
Yeah.
I think like my boyfriend is a queef addict, like having that response, it turns them on so much. I think because it's something you maybe shouldn't do or wouldn't normally see as sexy, so like the more noise he can make, like you just see him go crazy. I'm like, oh my god, you're like an ape at the zoo at feeding time.
Oh my god, I love it.
I love that so much. And I think it's really hot actually when partners are just like,
really,
I just want to do something so dirty, and like, I don't know, I don't care what comes out. I was being fingered like a couple of maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and we were trying to make me squirt, and because it was just like push, 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 I accidentally farted. But it was funny, and it didn't like ruin the mood, because I was just like, I was so into what was happening that I was just like, fuck it, like, that's my
imagine body. He loves farts though, like something like people love feet. Loads of people go on about armpits, they're like, well, you take pictures of your armpit.
Yeah,
so like to know that someone else loves it, even if you're like, what the fuck is this,
yeah,
like that's still sexy, like even if it's really weird.
We just need to embrace it, don't we? Embrace the weirdness.
I need to find someone who's into like burping and farting, like full on flatulence, because I'm the biggest burper.
Do that all the time.
And, like, during sex though, do you burp during like blowjobs?
I have to hold it back because like you never know whether or not it's going to be a smelly one, and I don't know. I swear it's like you know, like when a mother burps a baby, it's like that. Sex is like it burps me, and like all the gas comes up, or like when someone's going down on you and you just get really relaxed. I've always got a fart bubble, and especially if they've got like a finger inside me and I feel a fart bubble like raring to me, I'm like, can they feel that fart bubble? Like I'm literally tightening my anus so hard, like, come on, like don't let it release, don't let it
and it just goes,
if they were into farting, oh my god, they would fucking love it. Oh, that would be so good. Just let me fart in your face while you eat me out, please.
Fucking hell.
This week's sex story is, I've always had a hard time enjoying sex / relaxing as I have a pretty severe generalized anxiety. I was hanging out with my friends with benefits and was about to start on my period, so I was very horny. He had about 20 minutes before he had to leave for work, so we had a quickie. He had me on top of the couch that was against the wall, and at some point he started breathing heavy, so I started matching his breaths. I completely relaxed and had an orgasm. The sex lasted all of 5 minutes. I was really surprised that I was able to orgasm that quickly without any foreplay at all. Since we had a time constraint, it allowed me not to overthink things. I once thought sex wasn't for me, but now I know I can have sex and my anxiety just needs to fuck off for a second.
Oh, that's so cute.
So really interesting she was chatting about breathing as well, because I think that's so good, especially if you have anxiety around that sort of thing, because it gets you into your body and like it allows you to orgasm quite quickly actually if you really get into your breath.
Our minds are such enemies when it comes to sex and anxiety. Like the only time I cannot come is when my mind isn't playing ball and it's thinking about random other shit, or like I don't want to do this, or like I don't know, like fucking washing or something. And to really get yourself back into your body, because sex is about your body. Yes, your mind's involved and you have to be turned on, but it's also like you don't want to be so much in your mind that you're not thinking about the sex. So breathing is such a good way to get yourself back in time, and also breathing with your partner and matching their breath. Like I actually use that technique when I can't sleep, and if my partner's sleeping next to me, I match his breath, and it's almost like this sort of like weird therapeutic meditation type
thing. That's so interesting and really cute.
Unless he's snoring and then I'm like, shut the fuck up, man.
You're trying to copy the snore, like
I think breathing is such a good, like having a quickie where you both come really quick can be so like shocking and so exciting as well. And you're like, whoa, did that just happen?
Yeah. And you're left kind of with this like really nice like afterglow, just being like,
oh shit. 5 minutes as well, that's banging. Yeah, I love so that good. Shit.
I think that's also like attached to your pelvic floor muscles. Like when you're in labor, even you go through birth, they tell you to breathe. Yeah. So it's like that kind of getting your breath in line, and it definitely is pulling on your genitals, I think, you know.
Yeah,
you've got
really?
The pelvic floor there, and even like when you give birth and you have to like hold your breath so that nothing moves. So I think to like pant during sex definitely helps to stimulate orgasm for me.
Definitely. Yeah, breathing techniques are really good for orgasms. But even if I was just doing it then, I was just like breathing in. So like, if you breathe in, you do kind of feel like a pulling up.
Yeah,
from,
like a contraction. Like,
from everywhere.
Yeah. So that pelvic floor like sucking up. But to go back, sex anxiety is so normal. And I think absolutely everyone goes through that anxiety, because we are going through weird times, and we do think, like, sex is so high up on a pedestal and it means so much to us when it shouldn't. It should just be fun and flowy and whatever happens, happens. But because of porn and because of how we view sex, it's such a big deal, and that can really fuck us up inside our own minds to the point where we don't enjoy sex. It's it's such a fucking bitch.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Because you want to please your partner, don't you? Like, and you think, is this angle making me look nice? Are they going to see my faults and flaws? Are they not enjoying it? Like, am I doing it right? And you just need to like just get those thoughts out of your head and just lose yourself in the moment. Like, ground yourself where you are and what you're doing, and just don't give a fuck.
Well, people say that like breathing techniques and stuff are good for panic attacks and anxiety, so it makes sense that like breathing into the sex would really release that feeling.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, focusing on your breath. Like it takes practice to get used to your breath and to get yourself out of your mind and into your body. And the fact that you're with somebody that's there wanting to have sex with you, they're not looking at your flaws and they're not seeing you how you see and imagine yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't see them like that. You don't look at their flaws. You just look at them as a whole. And they're, you know, in all honesty, they're going to be absolutely grateful that, one, they've got you there and they're about to fuck you, which is like, you know, the highest prestige of all things. Yeah, it's trying to remind yourself and get yourself out of your mind and you know, actually just be comfortable and enjoy and learn the sex. The only time I can come is when I'm comfortable, not when I'm stuck in my own head.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just focus on pleasure, and if it feels good, keep doing more of it. And if it doesn't, then switch it up a bit, like, rather than thinking, like, you know, what's your score out of 10?
Yeah. I was a fucking 7 today, baby.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, it is time for us to fuck off.
No!
Thank you so much, Tracy, for coming on. This has been so good. So many great conversations as well. I've learned loads.
Actually enlightening. Yeah. Thank you for being your absolute true, honest self and talking about serious subjects, which are hard to talk about, and making it so, like, easy to talk about. It doesn't have to be hard. We don't have to tiptoe around eggshells. We can talk about things and just, you know, fucking have a laugh about them as well, because that's what life is.
Yeah, we're all human. We all go through the same things. We all feel the same way. So just be honest about it. Don't let something control you. Take control of it. You know, you don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to feel like less of a person or not good enough. If what's around you doesn't please you, then move the fuck away from it.
Yeah.
Run for the hills. Yes. Oh, it's been so good. Thank you so much, Tracy. Where can curious fuckers find you?
My Instagram is tracykiss.com and my website is tracykiss.com also.
and you have a YouTube channel as well?
Oh, I do. It's The Tracy Kiss.
Hey,
original as fuck.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, remember to rate, subscribe and share our podcast, like Corona, I guess.
Anti-corona, like, maybe breathe, we're like the antivirus, aren't we? Like, share this podcast so you don't get corona.
Exactly, because like good vibes and like the energy and the laughter, that's good for your immune system, right?
And now we need the little small print, like, this is not said by a doctor. Please do not take this literally.
Please, everyone, follow us on our YouTube channel, Come Curious, our Instagram, Come Curious, and our personal ones, which are at ReadAmberX and at Florence Bark.
And we will be here every Thursday, you lucky fuckers.
You lucky fuckers. Okay, everyone. You will hear us soon and we will see you around, I guess.
Yeah, see ya. Bye, Tracy. Lots of love.
Bye. Thank you.